Are you done? Are you done?
I got a few more rocks. Okay. All out.
Welcome to the Futile Podcast. Tonight, we've got Ian and...
Joshua.
Matt.
Andrew.
And Brian.
And we are going to continue our discussion about Walking Dead. I want to say keep saying films, so I guess that's a quality. It's a testament to the quality of the productions. The Walking Dead series. Tonight we're going to talk about episodes 2 and 3. We already talked about episode 1, kind of set the stage for everybody. If they want to listen to episode 1 review, they can find it. I don't feel like we need to recap what happened in episode 1, suffice to say... Small town Georgia sheriff is looking for his wife and kids, and he's in the middle of Atlanta, surrounded by walkers in a tank. And go. So pretty quickly, he gets in with a bunch of regular people, Dawn of the Dead style, sort of a veritable mix of stereotypes and whatnot, I guess. who are all pretty well organized. And I guess are in the city for some purpose, though the purpose that they went into the city for is never really revealed, because later on we find out that they are part of a larger group who are out at this rock quarry far enough away from town that you can still see the skyscrapers, but I guess presumably you're safe. So we're introduced to a few more characters, one of which is Michael Rucker, who plays the... In typical Rucker fashion, plays sort of the rough customer, obligatory racist of the group, I guess. the psychopath that it's kind of questionable why anyone is even slightly putting up with him at all. He doesn't seem to bring a lot to the table in terms of anything useful. But he ends up creating a lot of the drama, so that's, I guess, movie logic rationale for why he's there. Plot-wise, it's pretty much kind of a Dawn of the Dead style thing. You got the people trapped in a building. Essentially, they need to find a way to get out, to get to a rural environment where they're safe. Once they do that, the sheriff guy finds that his wife is still alive and his son and all that, and it's all very tender and moving. And there's some soap opera stuff in the undercurrent about the sheriff's partner who was banging the sheriff's wife, and they haven't, you know, fully played that out yet, but we'll see what happens with that. And then, well, let's see, Rucker gets handcuffed to the roof of the building at one point, and then they end up leaving him in the chaos, and then deciding they're going to go back and get him. So they go back to get him, but they find that in typical Mad Max fashion, he cut his own arm off with the hacksaw rather than cutting through the handcuff. The hacksaw was not a rusted hacksaw like it was in Mad Max, and the time constraint was not as extreme as it was in Mad Max. So that he did that is kind of inexplicable. And they play some vaguely 28 Days Later style, like intense droning music to make that super dramatic, and that's kind of the middle of the season finale, I guess. That's the end of episode 3. Yeah, I mean, not a lot happened in these two episodes, really.
What the hell happened to the sewer idea?
Yeah,
they
abandoned it.
Shot, they went there, they checked it out.
Well, yeah, I think they were going to try to get through, and it was just closed. And then they ended up going out for that van, which wasn't clear. But what I didn't understand was they were part of that group before that left the forest area and went to the building. What did they come in? Did they have had a vehicle? Why did they have to go through this whole pasty intestine mission to get them in the vehicle when they probably had one there?
Were they there for?
Yeah, it seems like they were in that building where he met up with them for a long time, like they were living there.
Yeah, and they didn't bring anything back with them to camp. Like, what was the purpose of them going on this mission into Atlanta? The three episodes in, there's still a lot of... I don't know if they're really plot holes, but... I'm going to call them just... There's a lot of unanswered questions still in this show. I mean, we were all confused when the two characters covered themselves in zombie blood. We understood the logic for that, but we were all confused as to what their end game was. Like, well, what do they need to get to in order to... And it's like, oh, they're just going to get a car and they're just going to get a truck and yeah. save and go get people. So,
and then Brian brought up a great point too, which I mean was kind of a weak plot hole. I mean, when they went to go get that car and the Pacey stuff, that tank couldn't have been that far, and that bag of ammo and the 700 rounds had to be like right there.
Yeah.
But I mean, they left it for whatever reason, and then it brings up this whole new issue later on where we have to go back and get it.
And what the hell happened with the grenade? He took that grenade from the tank.
I imagine that's going to be used in episode 6.
Okay.
He looked at that for so long. It's like, well, you know, when he uses that, that's going to be good.
See, I was half open when they were all stuck at the bottom of the at the bottom of the ladder. Mm-hmm. They were going to have like, oh shit, they're figuring out how to use ladders now.
That's and what then he was going to drop like, it.
Yeah, well, they're using tools now.
Yeah,
they have to pick up the rocks.
It's true. They started using the to climb the ladder. I mean, something as small as a grenade is something I would have expected him to use to really start that second episode off with a bang. And then he didn't. So yeah. I don't know. I'm still kind of on the fence about this show. It's short enough. I'm definitely going to watch all of them.
Yeah.
But I just don't know yet.
Is it just the 6 episodes?
Yeah, it's just 6. It? Yeah, so. I mean, we can get together and plow through three and do like kind of a long session or whatever if you want, yeah. But so far, I don't know.
It's, well, because in our minds, until now, the entire point of the show was this one lone sheriff trying to find his family. And like halfway through, he did that, now what?
Yeah.
Yeah, I feel like that was a little bit premature.
Yeah, I was surprised they went into that that early.
I feel like, you know, they could have kept it at least another episode or two out.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know. I mean, part of me agrees with that, but the question is which kind of... Once they started introducing other people, which they did in the very first episode, then it stopped being the Last Man on Earth show and started being the... How are the little groups of people going to get together thing? And my whole thing is about how long are they going to tease out the bullshit melodrama soap opera of the love triangle and adultery thing.
And how long is that going to take to resolve?
Yeah, exactly. hopefully it will resolve rather quickly. And then they can move on to something more interesting. I don't know yet what they're gonna do with like the Rucker character. You know, he's running around with one missing hand. You know, maybe he's gonna make a hacksaw hand. I like how there was no blood. There was just like a little bit of blood.
Yeah,
it wasn't like copious amounts. Like he would have probably bled to death if he cut his whole his arm.
That's where his belt came in handy.
Good timing.
Yeah.
Whole point.
Although he was also severely dehydrated.
That's true. Yeah.
So the body may have been moving blood from the wounds.
Yeah, that's true. It was probably doing that. And
you should have kept the hand as bait. Like if he's trapped or cornered, there's a million zombies, he throws it like a meat grenade.
Yeah.
And they all swing up from the hand.
It's like the bait in the original NES Legend of Zelda.
Yeah.
And then you had to buy it that one time in level 7 or whatever to give to that guy. You're like, fuck this. Bait is so expensive and useless. No one ever uses bait normally. No, I like how I mean he hadn't. So Rucker's on the roof. He cuts his own arm off because he's panicked that the walkers are going to get in there and get him, even though they don't. And then when they come back, they have to cut through the bolt, cut through the chain to get to the roof. And he's gone. He's missing an arm. So did he like parquet his way off the roof onto another building
parkour,
or what?
Parkour.
Yeah, parkour. Yeah.
Yeah.
Parkour, parquet, parlay.
He's probably just like the next episode is going to be like.
So.
Yeah, it's like the next episode. He's probably just going to be dead behind like one of the ventilation shafts.
Yeah, who knows?
Okay, and he couldn't just be the racist. He also had to be the guy that had interreligious issues.
Oh yeah,
where he's like begging for help from God, and then it's like, no, fuck you.
Yeah, yeah. No, he's completely gone through this like terrible transformation.
Which is why they had to pass sexism onto some arbitrary guy, Chuck.
Well,
he was just chilling in the forest. It's, apparently, he was there the entire time, but you never saw him until that episode.
Yeah,
he gives off that baby child molester vibe.
Yeah, he does. He gives off all that. The part of the problem is that, I mean, it's not necessarily a problem, but, I mean, the original content, which, and I haven't read the graphic novels or whatever, the comic, But I mean, if it's set in Georgia, so stereotypes galore. I mean, I guess the idea is that you're going to have your racists from Georgia. You're going to have certain types of people that are in that area, I guess.
No, I get it. It seems like they want to touch on all those different topics.
Sort of. You're definitely right. It does create, like, I don't know. It's tough from, like, a guy who, like, is trying to write movies like me standpoint, because you look at some of these scenes and you look at some of these characters and the depth at which you have of them so far, which is pretty shallow, and it's like, I mean, like, I almost rolled my eyes when, after Rucker's just been handcuffed, after he beat up the rapper or whatever, T-Dog or whatever, that they all go to go, like, investigate stuff, but they leave T-Dog up there with him so they can have their little, like, trapped in an elevator moment or something.
I thought it was going to be, like, a Reservoir Dog scene where, like, T was just going to, like, wait for them to leave and then take that hacksaw out of his ear.
Yeah. they could have done something really cool and brutal like that, or they could have done something really strange where, like, they found that they both are, like, screwed up people and, like, made some kind of a weird unholy alliance there.
They alluded to that.
Yeah.
And, like, they even made it really weird when he got the key, like, looked at it, like, he didn't know what it was.
Yeah.
And then he put it away. I thought, like, maybe he was going to form an alliance with this guy.
I think with that, they just wanted to make sure caught that, yeah, it was him that got the key.
Yeah.
I half wanted to bring the Zelda thing and have it float above his head.
Yeah. More Zelda again, yeah.
You know, my brain, huh?
Yeah. No, I mean, it's just, so far, the characters aren't quite cutting it for me, and some of the scenarios just aren't quite cutting it for me.
Well, there's really no drive for our protagonist, really. It's like, okay, we have to get these guns and get this guy that we don't really even like.
Yeah.
And, yeah.
200% of honor.
I feel like
what's the point? What are we trying to do? I mean, because they were talking about some survivors or resistance or something in Philadelphia.
Longer. Yeah, helicopter.
I mean, do we really know that, though? Or there could be. I mean,
maybe. No, it was supposed to be in Atlanta.
Supposed to be in Atlanta.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, and they said that it wasn't there anymore.
But he saw that helicopter.
Yeah, right.
So I'm assuming it is there. That's somewhere.
Well, it's somewhere within a helicopter's distance or something. I don't know. I gotta figure that the thing to do in the zombie apocalypse is to go for, like, go to, like, an island.
No, you didn't see Dawn of the Dead?
Isn't that what they do that, right? And then
what happened?
Well, you get on. There's going to be zombies on the island, but once you've killed all the zombies on the island, there won't be any more zombies on the island until they learn how to use, like, speedboats or something.
What if that plan goes wrong? It's like you go to the island and then you all die, and then there's more zombies, and then someone else goes to the island and then they all die, and then there's more zombies, and by the time you get to the island, because you had that idea, there's, like, millions of them.
I mean, it might
be an island now.
Well, here's the
thing. Everybody else.
Here's the thing.
Yeah.
I mean, the question. The question that they haven't quite addressed yet, though, and I mean, we're always trying to figure out, like, what kind of disease is this? How does this function? Is this, like, magic undead disease, so they can stay as undead as they possibly can, or can they starve to death and then be dead undead? If that's the case, then what you described there, you know, it'd be like any population, once its food supply is out, then it's just going to die off in, like, a matter of, like, weeks.
I get the vibe that that's what they're doing.
Yeah, they are driven by hunger.
Yeah,
definitely. So,
and he said that. He said they're moving out of the city because they're running out of a food source.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Like, how long was he in the hospital? Didn't we decide it was, like, between a few weeks and a month, maybe?
I guess.
Those flowers.
Yeah, the flowers.
And then since then, it can't have been more than a week or two?
Probably was like a couple of days, because he left the hospital and he found the old guy in the family. He spent the night there. He left, got the guns and all that stuff, and then there was like another day he left, and then that's when he got stuck in the tank.
Yeah, it's been no more than a week.
He rode a horse, and he didn't ride the horse overnight.
Yeah, and then did they spend the night in this warehouse after he got out of the tank, or was that all just one day? Those two episodes.
How far away from Atlanta did he start?
There was like a night sex scene.
Yeah.
It's been like a week.
Two, you know?
It's
maybe,
been like a week,
yeah,
since the hospital.
Yeah. So a month-ish.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. They're kind of slow playing a lot of this. They're definitely stretching.
Zombies aren't going to just go away.
Yeah.
I mean, regardless of the reason there.
That's the thing. Is it a localized event? Right? Are we talking
That's
about
always a big question.
Just there? Or is it like something, you know, gets distributed with like meat or something, right? And gets everywhere.
Everywhere, yeah.
One would think you'd see some more of a big organized resistance if that were the case. If it were a localized event, you know? But unless it's not been very long, so.
Yeah. I mean, who who's to say? That's the biggest problem, is that he walks out of the hospital in the first episode, and you see, like, evidence that, like, there was some sort of a military effort.
Oh, yeah.
But all it does is just give you... there's still just, like, a lot of questions, and, I mean, who knows? There might be, like, a really big reveal of a lot of information at some point. Like, we at least got that bit...
They should do, like, a video game where there's, like, a tape recorder. Day one.
Oh, yeah.
And then, like,
that's
all this exposition,
yeah. and they just had to screw over Atlanta again.
Yeah, exactly, right? No, I don't know. It's, I guess it's going to get a second season already. I think it's getting a second. So the question, and I'm pretty sure that the comic finished eventually. The question is just, how are they adapting this material to be, like, as efficient to tell the story? Like I said, I basically ran through the plot of those two episodes we watched, and it took me, like, 2 minutes. It's like, well, they're on a building... Then they go, and then they, you know...
That was pretty much it. He was stuck in a tank. Guy helped him get into the building. There's an asshole. They handcuff him. They leave. They're like, shit, we're assholes. Let's go get him. He's out there. Two episodes.
That's two episodes. Yeah, exactly. Like, it's always tough when you start repeating. Like, we made that joke where it's like, they just got out of Atlanta... And then they go right back to Atlanta. And it's like, you're just sort of creating more... Like, we know, like, you have to raise the stakes, which means that you have to put them in a more dangerous situation, or...
That's not what that...
Well, now...
No, at all, not at all, like...
You got the one-armed man, I mean, he's probably...
Yeah, you know, that's adding a potential complex... Cool. They haven't introduced the rape gangs yet, which, if you've seen The Road, you all know, that's... You know, as soon as civilization collapses, a whole bunch of people turn into rape gangs.
Yeah, but I don't want to say they're all dead.
Who's to say? I mean
stuff.
You know, I mean, the point is that it's not just the nice people that survive, right? And that's sort of supposed to be the dismal, like, nihilistic commentary on humanity, right? I don't know.
I thought most of the reveals in this episode and in the last episode were, like, one-liners shouted out in anger. You know, she's my sister.
Yeah
that was
she's
pretty
brother.
Over
those
the time. Those
were the only reveals, really.
Yeah.
And still, issues with the sound design bother me.
Yeah.
That was bothering me in the first one. Like, when they were in the tent and they were, like, trying to have sex in front of their kid, and it was, like, really creepy because he could, like, hear them subconsciously and have, like, Oedipus dreams.
Yeah.
Like, there was this moment where, like, the crickets were going and everything was ablaze,
and then it stopped.
And then it just died out.
Yeah.
It drove me nuts. It was, like, right here.
Yeah. I was like, wait, is something about to happen? And then it just came right back up again. I was
it
didn't sound natural.
No, they sort of,
like,
they switched angles, and they just didn't, do a good job
editing.
Of the audio editing. Yeah.
I keep noticing that.
It's like they recorded some scenes for, like, surround and some not.
Who knows?
Not to mention the axe is making, like, typical movie sword sounds.
Yeah. They did sound kind of Ginsu and stuff.
Screaming rats.
It's coming. Oh, well.
Yeah. I don't know. No, it's not quite hit me in the right places.
It wasn't
yet.
As solid as the pilot, but
no,
I'll stick it through.
It's yeah, definitely.
Fun.
Yeah, because it's still fun. We have fun watching it. That's the important part, right?
Yeah.
We get a couple good laughs, like when the Ranger showed up. That was fun.
Like, oh my god!
I swear we should just be recording us commenting as we watch it.
We should do that.
Yeah, this is interesting.
But then we would never enjoy watching the show. And then what if it ended up being good? And it's just like we were just ironic the whole time. We never got anything meaningful out of it. Oh, that's our generation's problem.
Isn't that like half of watching the zombie movie? Then
probably.
Yeah.
I think we found a nice happy medium.
I'll just get like a bad B sci-fi film with me and we can do that.
That'd be fun.
I'd do that. I'd do that in a split. Or like a good movie that everyone's seen enough that they can just talk over and be cool with.
Let's do Shawshank.
Just spend your whole time seeing who can do the best Morgan Freeman impression.
Yeah.
It's like... Get busy living and get busy dying. Those penguins like to... It's like, nope, wrong movie. Wrong movie. Can't think of any lines from Seven. No. I mean, I guess... I'm starting to feel like... I mean, what that second episode ended and that third episode just started, and it was like... at least it's got that going for it. It's got a little bit of a cliffhangery thing between the episode, but it really does feel maybe like it's almost meant to be viewed like one big movie. Like, maybe you're supposed to marathon it. Just, if you just keep going with it, then you're more likely to kind of forgive the dips in pacing or, like, you know, the little character moments that don't quite work as well. I don't know. Well, I mean, but they definitely have to ratchet the action and raise the stakes in, like, the fourth and fifth episodes for sure in order for it to mean much for me. If they just stay in, like, rural outskirts Atlanta for the rest of the season.
Looking for frogs.
It's gonna lose me a little.
It is tough to branch out that far in six episodes, though. Because there's already some things we know they're gonna have to resolve, like this helicopter issue, the guy with his son.
Yeah.
To bring them back around, and I'm sure it's probably gonna happen at the same time. He's gonna have to use that grenade at some point, so.
Yeah, I mean, I guess it just comes down to, even if they don't change the setting, like, they don't move to a different location, or all of a sudden introduce, like, some kind of, like, paramilitary subplot or whatever, you know, with other people completely. I definitely want to see the father and his son from the pilot back, because those were, like, I'm much more interested in those two characters than just about any of the other characters I've met.
Yeah,
those two, and maybe the two guys that have got the Winnebago, the old guy, and the guy that's like, talking about the hose, seem like they could be like more interesting characters, or like from the perspective of somebody who watches something like this and thinks, okay, now who am I going to want to team up with? Who do I think might have like a little value in terms of like what they can contribute to solving problems and being useful? Where, you know, Rucker doesn't contribute anything, which is he's just a human. It's like everyone is still operating on this sort of odd kind of motivation where it's like just because they don't want to feel guilty about stuff or something, I guess.
I mean, if nothing else, he seemed to be a marksman and he was good in hand-to-hand combat, so he's going to make a good villain.
Yeah, no, so. I mean that's what he's going to become, though, probably, is he's probably going to become the human villain.
Human villain, which is always... It's more interesting.
Yeah, he won't be that good at hand-to-hand combat anymore.
No, he won't. It'll be hand combat.
Hand to stump.
Hand to combat.
Stump to hand.
So yeah, they might bring in a military presence and then explain what caused the zombies.
Well, I think episode 6 is going to leave us with some place that our people are going to have to travel to. You know, some reason for them being driven out of the camp that they're in.
Yeah.
And then some far off place that they have to journey to. And then we're going to have, you know, like Lord of the Rings style.
Yeah, now the
Season
journey begins.
Like Kung Fu, it's just the actual journey, roaming the earth.
Roaming the earth and all that. That could be good. Yeah, that's.
I feel like.
This word is.
Sorry.
No, go for it.
I feel like. What was the guy's name? His partner?
What
Dwayne
is it?
Or Daryl? Daryl is
the brother.
Is
it right?
Carl?
Carl's the son.
Carl. quotes on the birthday cake for Carl.
Well, anyway, that guy,
I feel like at some point he's going to try and sacrifice himself.
Yeah, I was going to say, at some point some of these people are going to have to start dying.
Although he did release a lot of anger into sexist man.
He's
not a sexist, because that kind of gives sexists a bad name. That guy's just a straight up white trash wife beater, okay?
Yeah,
that's like a little higher level than being
a
sexist,
you're right.
You know?
Misogynist, yes.
No, he's a wife beater. Misogynist is like saying that all the women in this show are written to be terrible, like they're written by a misogynist.
Definitely some abuse, yeah.
I
like they had just brought in some levity too with the vibrator comment.
Yeah.
And then he just ruins it.
Yeah, well that's how somebody like that it would be, you know, like both an abusive person is gonna take away anyone's too much fun. I did like the comment that one of the women made when the partner was playing with the son with the frog. She's like, I'm not sort of keen on the division of labor here, because so far the partner guy hasn't really done a hell of a lot. So I almost wonder if he might go more villainous and less sacrificial, because he seems like he's kind of trying to get what he can out of things. And like, you know, if I play with the kid, you know, I don't have to go anywhere or do any of this other more dangerous stuff. I mean, he didn't go with them to on the second mission or anything.
Yeah. His definite role in the camp is like
the protector,
the stay-at-home protector,
yeah,
protector provider kind of guy.
But he's not even really the provider because he didn't go on the hunt.
No, he's the protector.
He was going to provide the frogs.
Yeah, that's true.
He's the protector of that village, and like Brian said, I think he's going to end up dying doing just that because that's all he seems to want is to protect.
Yeah, he's gonna martyr himself for the group, I think.
We'll see.
Maybe with a grenade.
Yeah. Ooh, that could be good. And in typical not what a grenade does fashion, it'll like create a big fireball explosion as opposed to just being like shrapnel that goes kunk.
Yeah. All the smoke in the air, and that's what'll lure the zombies in.
Yeah.
Damn it! Don't you know how much smoke grenades produce in movies?
Yeah. Lots of
dope. No, he's going to build a big fire because he got mad at that guy for the fire.
Yeah, exactly.
He's
going
to build a big fire and draw him in.
He's going to be like, face me. It's like, there's no ego to the zombie interaction. It's not.
It's going
to
be like Predator when he takes it off and like,
yeah, exactly.
Eat me, you twin.
I don't know what's going to happen with that guy. The real problem for me is that there's just like not. I don't really care about too many of the characters yet. Like you said,
there's too many characters.
There's kind of too many, but they're all kind of like really flat right now. Yeah. I mean,
they tried to reach too far. They tried to hit every stereotype.
A little bit, yeah. And I mean, there's at least like a sense of kind of an overriding humanity for most of them, which I like, so that they're not just like pure stereotype.
Yeah,
but.
Merle lost that.
Merle, of course, was more extreme, but
I'm wondering where his brother's going to end up.
The brother could be a much more, have a little more depth. I'm hoping that he will. I'm hoping that we get. At one point, we got the. Who was the first guy? What was the name of the guy that was driving the car? Did we ever get his name?
Glenn.
Short round two. We had an interesting moment really early on in that second episode where he kind of took over. He kind of was actually like leading. He was telling everybody how to. He's like, no, I'm going to go down here, and one of you is coming with me, and it's going to be you because you need to stay here to do this. Yeah. It's like, that guy's telling everybody what to do. So as much as everyone wants it to be like the big, tall, like, you know, sheriff guy is the leader, he's kind of like got his whole like I got my family and blah blah blah. I could definitely see the Glenn character kind of becoming more of like a group leader character.
He's like that.
He's a smart
He's the smart ass now, sort of. But it could get interesting, you know.
He's like that smart nerdy guy that was able to fend for himself because he knew what he was doing, and now that he's in a group setting, he's not sure about it, but he could have a moment to shine and kind of
Yeah, and so it's like with something like Lost or something where the sort of superficial pretty people are not as entertaining as the like sort of like snarky like characters. It's like I want more of those characters doing funny stuff and dumb stuff or cool stuff or whatever, as opposed to just, you know, ideal of protagonist man saving the day.
Didn't see him much once he got back to camp.
No, he kind of, like you said, they just started sort of diluted out with more characters.
How many were there? There's like 20 or something people in that camp.
Yeah,
there are people popping out that I didn't see.
There's some that have never been introduced.
At that camp.
Yeah, do they have like some red shirts in there, like some throwaway characters that could get killed later on?
Hispanic
that
man
guy,
that went with them.
He could die. His whole family could die.
His wife and kids.
Yeah, there's his wife and kid.
Yeah,
and there's some other people that I saw that I don't know who they are.
Yeah, yeah. It's a tough thing. They have a lot of information they have to get out, and they're not doing anything too super terrible about like expositional moments where they just like throw out a large amount of. I mean, there's that's my sister, and it's like whatever, you know, like you get that out of the way.
That's the reason they're concerned.
Yeah, exactly. There's some logic to it. But just in keeping with our Walking Dead and debate series, where last time we debated shotgun versus sniper rifle.
Mm-hmm.
We've got a new one that's not so much a debate as it's a top 10 that Andrew wanted to address. It was a top 10 zombie bludgeoning implements.
Yes.
That's so, bludgeoning and can't be melee.
Yes, bludgeoning.
Please define. Melee is something you swing.
Well, bludgeoning, I mean, it's an impacted weapon. But if you say melee, then I can throw in a katana sword.
Okay.
See, something, that doesn't have that same satisfactory, you know, popping
crunch
and smushing that happens at the head.
Yeah.
With, say, a 2x4.
Yeah. Or a Jose Canseco bat.
Oh, yeah.
Two for one sale, man.
If we're going to bludgeon, I'm going to go with a metal baseball bat, the aluminum.
It does make that nice noise.
Yeah, clink.
It's going to make me happy every time.
I got to say, one of my favorites was in Zombieland.
Yeah.
When you see him go for the mallet, for the thing, and you're like, oh yeah, this is going to happen.
That was good.
I mean, does the axe count? That's pretty darn good. I like the axe.
Yeah, an axe.
You'd have to hit him sideways.
Yeah, the bludgeon.
Okay. Right. Well,
or with the handle.
A shovel definitely makes the list on the classics.
Shovel makes the list.
Shovel could also
no chopping.
Be chopping. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. We're being strict, okay.
Yeah, we're getting really heavy-handed. You got 4x4, like, and walking tall with the rock.
Yeah. Or he just whittles down the four.
Yeah, yeah. Or he just takes it off the evidence thing after he's been acquitted. He's like, this is mine. So you got that. You got,
you can just go through, like, Clue, like a wrench.
Yeah, a wrench.
Wrench would be good. It's a little short, but it's
I feel like you need some good projectile spray for it to really be quality.
How do you feel about a cast iron frying pan?
Raiders of the Lost Ark style. That nice.
I mean, if we're going like, you know, World War II giant wrench from like, you know, a battleship or something, then yeah.
If you can wield that, that's really good.
Yeah, or, you could.
Like Industrial Revolution style wrench, some giant German guy with a wrench.
Yeah. Can I say a battle mace?
Oh, sure.
Are we talking like flail mace or like a mace on the end of a stick kind of mace?
End of a stick.
Not a morning star, a proper mace.
Right.
Yeah, okay. Okay. What were you going to say, Brian?
What was I going to say? Oh, jeez. Oh, yeah. Big Hunter Rebar.
Rebar? Oh, that's
especially if it's got a little bit of concrete on the end.
Oh, yes. Mm-hmm. Yes.
He's swinging around constantly.
I like rebar. I very much.
Yeah.
Rebar could also be a stabbing.
I was going to say, in a pinch, you can like
impale.
Attach a zombie to a wall. Just get it through some drywall.
But then you know he'd walk off of it.
But not if you got him through the eye.
It would be cool to like have maybe like a really awesome like electric guitar too. That would be an awesome bludgeoning as well.
Because
it'd make an awesome sound at least once, you know?
Yeah.
We know exactly
even a nice
like
acoustic.
Yeah. Wait, in that video game you use
in
guitars?
In Left 4 Dead 2, there's a guitar you can use electric guitar.
That's great.
There's also the paddle.
Oh, the cricket?
Cricket bat.
Oh, so you're going to
go... I liked that.
All the Casey Jones
implements. Casey Jones, yeah.
You got the cricket bat, you got the Jose Canseco bats.
It's like a regular staff.
We need to bring Casey Jones into a zombie movie.
As soon as those guys showed up with the bats and like the masks on in the beginning of the second episode, I'm like, really, why isn't Casey Jones here? Like, this would be awesome.
All that stuff behind it.
Yeah, what the fuck did they do with
they
that?
They forgot it.
Because like I saw that, like I was going to bring that up that they left it behind, and then I saw him throwing stuff onto the truck.
The bats or the gear that they had on?
They had all like the police dog bite gear.
Yeah, that's right.
Why would they take that off?
That's episode 5, right? Episode 5.
Yeah.
Screw smearing yourself with dead people.
Yeah. Just get like a Kevlar body
that's
gear.
It.
Yeah.
That's all you need.
Just have Casey Jones with some Kevlar body gear, and you're good to go.
Skateboard.
Do nunchucks count?
Paper fun.
Nunchucks is good. Skateboard's dual purpose.
You'd have to have like a Rafiki scene though. Where you're like surrounded by things. And it's like, oh!
Probably knock a decaying head off of a zombie with a nunchuck.
Nunchaku, indeed, yeah. Nice. That would be good. And then the real question is, what was I thinking about? If you're bludgeoning them. Yeah, I don't know.
That is the real question.
Yeah.
And at what point does it actually become, like, a game to kill zombies?
Oh, my gosh.
Like, when do you start pulling the Lord of the Rings thing and start keeping track?
Zombie 1?
Yeah, right.
They did a little of that in the pilot with the, like, real... And a little of that in the second episode with, like, these were people, like, trying to, like, come back to it. So, it is... I do like that they're doing that, that they're, like, playing...
What happened to the $28 wing that you promised to tell his family about?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, he told them the part they skipped. You know how he...
That'll be a deleted scene on
the
DVD.
They definitely, like, skipped a bunch of plot elements that they put in there.
They pretty much promised us that scene.
Yeah.
It was a
lot. Yeah,
I know, we all really wanted them to slow all the action down so we could sit there and be like, hey, son, I had to chop this guy up, his dead body, so we could use his guts
his
to make ourselves
Wayne.
Smell bad. His name was Wayne.
And
I just thought you should know that. He was an organ donor.
I think I have a piece of his skin attached to my back.
Carl,
he was born in 1979. Never forget that.
Yeah, exactly.
Carl!
Chicken sandwich Carl. No, I don't know. I don't know, man.
Well, we'll see where it goes.
We'll see where it goes. Yeah. Any final thoughts?
Have all the episodes already aired?
Yeah, they have. I have all three of them on here right now.
Yeah.
We can watch them next week or watch them whenever you guys want to get together and watch them.
Yeah.
Any closing commentary on the zombie thing or the storyline or curiosities or questions that you want answered, so forth and so on?
T-Dog or whatever his name was.
T-Dog.
Him tripping? Stupid. And then the key falling out of his hand? Stupid. Yeah. And then the key falling down like the tiniest little drain hole on that whole roof.
Unnecessary CG.
And slow-mo.
Right? It was like super stupid. They could have done something where it was like in his pocket, and as he's running back like up the stairs, it falls out, and he doesn't see it, and so he doesn't know where it is.
And it wasn't like
all they had to do,
or like off the roof.
It wasn't like it was an open hole. It was one of those holes with like the grate over it,
right? Mm-hmm. To protect from things.
And it got enough of a bounce. Didn't it bounce a couple of times, or like at least once?
It got at least a bounce.
I mean, the only thing I can think of is I think you're getting at like a really good point though. I mean, the rationale for the way that they did that, orchestrated that as such an event, I mean, one is it's like cheap drama, so it's easy for, like, you know, consumption for a mass audience. But the other is that it shows that Rucker actually saw that happen. So in some sense, if they end up, you know, at odds again later, he can, like, sort of say, like, I lost the key. You saw me lose the key.
But you hear the first thing he said when he lost the key. You did that on purpose.
Yeah, exactly. Right. I know. So, but that is a good point. The execution on some of these situations are just not creative enough for me at this point, or just like you said, kind of just stupid. They when they go back into Atlanta, I'm kind of glad that they didn't belabor that part. And, like, they could have stretched a whole other episode out of them just getting back to that roof. With just more... Because at a certain point, it gets boring. Let's face it. Like, it's like, oh, they've got to just smash, hack through zombies.
Yeah,
people play video games where they get to actually get the cathartic experience of doing that already. So that does alone is not going to work for, like, most of your action. You have to come up with interesting set pieces and obstacles and challenges to raise the stakes. And you're right, so far they've kind of done a little bit with it, but not that much. Like, I mean, if you think about the way the pilot ended, with all the zombies swarming onto the tank, and then, like, it was kind of a cop-out the way the second episode started. It's like, oh, yeah, no, they're all storming to the horse, like, it's good, you can just, like, open the top and just walk out. And that's what he does. Like, there was nothing clever he had to do to facilitate getting out of that tank, which, by seeing the end of the pilot, you're like, something has to happen in order for this to work out.
And on the radio, Glenn sounded like Zach Galifianakis, and I was kind of like, if he just pops out of nowhere in this film, I'm going to be a little upset.
Yeah, no, I mean, definitely, Glenn didn't sound like the same Glenn or something, but who knows?
Yeah.
Might have been a different person. I think that just they've got to just be more clever than this, and they've got to do two things a little better. They've got to flesh out some of their characters to make the humanity angle matter a little more.
And, or get rid of the human.
I think that's...
That's inevitable.
That's inevitable. That's why you have a lot of these, like you said, people that like are in the background. Those are the throwaway deaths for the action sequences. But you have to actually have the deaths that matter, which means you actually kind of have to care about the characters, too. And right now, I really don't care about too many of them.
No. Well, see, I'm interested in, actually, the other brother... the hunter.
Yeah, the hunter.
Because they definitely are having some foreshadowing where they've shown him remove bolts from several zombies in like very up close fashion and then him use the same
arrows.
Bag.
Yeah.
And so I'm thinking there might be brothers come back together and the other brother becomes a zombie.
Who knows what they're gonna do with that Daryl character?
In the middle of the night or something.
Yeah,
kill his brother.
Yeah, something that makes us care about those characters again, right? Because right now we kind of hate them a little bit.
Oh, definitely.
You know?
I mean, that's what they're there for, to a degree. I mean, it's more interesting... The Daryl character has his moment of being upset, which is sort of justifiable. But then once they kind of grab him and calm him down, then he's pretty easygoing at that point. So I get the sense that he's a much more reasonable person than his brother.
Easygoing. I just the look I saw in his eyes is as soon as I get my brother, I'm gonna kill you for this.
I mean, who knows? We'll see. He seems like he's almost a little more practical, too. I mean, he was going out and hunting, presumably to feed everybody, and he did have that one moment when he looked at the deer, and he was like, do you think we could cut around this and still work with it? I mean, like, he seems like he's like a little more practical and not just, like, pure, like, aggro rage about everything all the time.
For wiping the blood-covered arrows all
over. But that's a big point with them covering themselves with the blood and everything, is it's like, they haven't sufficiently addressed just how communicable this disease is.
Yeah, it was touching him.
And
around the neck and stuff.
Yeah, exactly.
Let's notice for a moment that none of the personnel that are there are medical personnel.
Yeah.
Because they're typically going to be the first to go in an infectious disease.
Yeah.
And the CDC recognizes that.
Yeah.
Communicable disease. And so, like, none of them really practice any kind of, like, safety.
No.
As far as, I mean, going at that one guy is just crazy, bludgeoning him.
Yeah,
with various implements.
I can buy it not infecting them with, like, being touching the skin, but when they're, like, hacking at the dude...
And you're going to get stuff in your eyes and stuff,
like, the ear, the mouth, and the eye, you're going to get infected. Yeah, dude, you know...
Yeah,
so I mean, who's
that got the immunity thing? I don't know.
Yeah,
you
know, I mean that's true. That they just haven't answered these questions enough, so it's like we're kind of incredulous about a lot of these things, but... Then maybe they'll do the cop out where it's like then they'll just explain it and we'll be like, oh, I guess we shouldn't have cared, but maybe you should have explained it sooner or done something a little more clever about it.
I feel like a lot of times what happens is they just wait for another show to cover that or another, like, if you notice, there's some movies that focus on the disease,
yeah,
like I Am Legend,
mm-hmm.
And then there are other ones that just don't ever explain it.
You're yeah, just it's just an excuse way. For the action or an excuse for the drama and the tension and the suspense,
right.
Because this is a show, it's got more time, so I say it has to sort of cover everything in order to do it right.
Yeah.
It really should.
Especially if it's based off of a graphic novel, because that's the kind of thing that I feel like comic book readers and stuff like that
definitely.
Care about.
So, I mean, I'm assuming that they'll get to it at some point. I was trying to rack my brain. Have we seen anyone that was a normal person get infected and turn zombie in any of the three episodes yet?
No.
So we haven't had that, like, strange moment, like the 28 Days Later moment where the guy gets a drop of blood in his eye and then 20 seconds later he's crazy. Monster. But we have seen them get covered in stuff and be okay. I don't know, maybe they'll have some cop-out where it's like, if it's a dead zombie body, then the disease is dead. Or something dumb like that.
Well,
yeah, exactly. That's not how that works. It takes a while.
Yeah, and it's not, it's definitely, they're not going to do it, it doesn't seem like they're going to do it in, like, you know, you get bit and then you get it kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
Because they've made it seem that, you know, the zombies are moderate, you know, they're different zombies. There's slow zombies, there's fast zombies. These are moderately fast zombies when they're...
Yeah, when they want to be, yeah.
Yeah, and they've made it clear that, you know, when the zombies get a hold of you, you're food.
Yeah.
That's it. You're not like, we're going to bite you, see what happens.
But they do have that, like, varying degree of dead.
Yes.
So there's a sense of, like, some of these people have probably pretty recently died, and some of these are, like, you know, climbed out of the graveyard, walking dead.
Some of them looks like they were infected since, like, Ground Zero, and other ones look like they're
probably
getting infected.
Yeah, I mean, there were a couple times when the makeup effects in this were a little weak, I thought. Maybe more so, like, if you pay attention to, like, background zombies, where you're like, there was one where it literally looked like they just put, like, a gray face mask on somebody.
Yeah, I saw
that. And then, like, the chin and below didn't look that way or something. And it's like, that just looks kind of hokey, you know?
I think my favorite zombie of those two episodes was the one where he came out of the tank. And they had that weird...
Oh, yeah, it had that, like,
smile.
Big old gash in his face.
And then he hits him with the shovel and it splits his face.
Yeah. No, I mean, we'll see. They should get more... Hopefully they'll get more clever with everything, and the show will get a little tighter and a little more focused, and maybe they'll wean off some of the characters.
Yeah, maybe you just needed this episode to get what really is going to happen.
Yeah, I mean, it's one of those weird cases where, like, the pilot has to set everything up, and the next couple episodes have to kind of get the ball rolling on the main thrust of the main story arc of the first season. I mean, it begins to become like you're chasing something, though. You know, it's like, oh, then season two is really where everything can happen, because season one had to set up everything for season two or something, so...
Well, that's
Yeah, exactly. We'll see. We'll see. Hopefully it'll end well, and it'll be worth checking out the second season. Anyway, so that's good. Everyone have anything else to say, or good?
We're good.
Good. I gave it a star less than last time.
A star less. Episodes 2 and 3 get a star less from Brian.
Like 3.5 this time.
You're going 3.5?
Maybe.
Out of 5?
Yeah.
Matthew?
Yeah, 3.
3 out of 5?
Yeah, 3.5.
3.5 out of 5, okay. And then you're...
I don't remember what I gave last time, I just want a star less.
Okay.
Mine
Brian wants a star less, give or take a star.
Mine would be registered in shotgun shells.
Yeah, yeah. No, I would probably... I might have to just give it a 2.5. It really just didn't do much for me. And in 2 whole episodes, to essentially get to the halfway point of a show, nothing too major. I mean, I don't know. I could probably give it 3 just because they at least resolved the sheriff getting back with the son and the wife, so that isn't like going to be some constant thing where you know that they're okay but he doesn't.
Yeah,
but then
I'm glad they took care of that.
Yeah, I mean it was kind of just like once you know both are good. I mean, if you hadn't known one, then I'd be fine with them dragging it on a lot longer. But
how many awkward sex scenes?
Yeah, exactly. How many awkward sex scenes are they going to have, or how long are they? Eventually, they'd have him meet up with some woman, and then kind of have given up on his ever finding his wife, and then there'd be that much more. Like, it'd be like a quadrangle of love drama, and it's like, no, they meet up and they get that out of the way to a degree. So,
but now they've separated them again. So
exactly,
they both know they're fine, but for how long? Now nobody knows anything until they get back, if they get back.
Right. Yeah,
it was really stupid of him to go after all that.
Yeah,
such a good reunion.
But I just noticed is that
it was like a day or two.
They pretty much just passed the baton. If we have to find person X from him and the family to the brother and the brother,
yeah,
at some point it'll probably become the other guy and his son from the pilot. It seems like they're going to keep that going as the drive of the show.
That's very likely.
This person.
I mean, they could make a really, really tight, really action-packed 4th episode by, like, doing almost nothing with the camp. Maybe start the episode with the camp, like a cold opening, and then just have the rest of it just be like go go in medias res, action 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 in the city,
mm-hmm.
where they are being chased, stuff's happening, they've got to get the headset, and they've got to, you know, instead of making it like dragging it out. So who knows? I mean, I could see that being a really good episode, that 4th one, but I could also see it just being more like, you know, they don't meet up with those people till the end of the 6th episode, and then it's like,
mm-hmm. Especially since the main emotional drive for them going to the city is no longer there.
Yeah.
You know, they're there, and now it's kind of like, oh, crap. You know?
And the drive was reasonably weak. I mean, it's like, we could go there to get those guns. It's like, or we could go somewhere else and get other guns.
Yeah.
Chances are, we're in the South.
There's probably
guns somewhere we can get.
In like a small safe town, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Just you know, that's the thing I would be sort of thinking about is like heading towards a better location than that. And I don't know. We still don't know why the other people were even in Atlanta. Like why that first mission to Atlanta even happened.
Yeah, I would assume it was for supplies.
But they didn't really bring anything all that great. And did I miss something when they first got back? We're like, hey, we finally got those,
they had that
you know, those tampons you wanted.
Yeah,
no, it wasn't.
Yeah.
I'm assuming they got the ride gear in the city.
Yeah, I mean, yeah.
But they didn't bring anything. You know, normally when you have like a show where there's a camp and then there's splinter group.
Yeah.
The splinter group is bringing back some necessary supplies, like, you know, we got the blood plasma for Joey who's dying.
Yeah, the insulin and stuff.
Yeah.
Maybe it's more like a scavenger thing where you go out and just do some fishing and see what you get.
Yeah. Who knows? It was definitely not well thought out. Anyway, so we'll get back to you guys, and thanks for listening to the podcast. If you listen.